Amen. God bless you. Many of you have your Bibles, you could turn to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 13 down to 17. Let's take your time and find it. And now, maybe sometimes maybe think of a title for a sermon, it doesn't really matter what you have or not, but maybe this you could maybe call it Beloved of the Lord, or you could call it Stand Fast or Steadfast, but it doesn't really matter about title, it just matters about the Word of God. That's the main thing, because you know God's Word is truth. But here in verse 13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, through the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Amen. Just let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I just come before you once again, in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask right now that you just come, touch these lips of clay with the hot coal from off the altar. Lord, may the people not see me here, but Lord, may they just hear and recognize your word, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, grant me grace, to share your word with these people, Lord, that they may get a blessing from it. And Lord, we just commend this service into your hands now. We welcome you to come, Holy Spirit, for it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the really just want to share just a few simple thoughts tonight on this scripture, and it's really, I was reading over in Matthew, and I'll turn to it later, about Jesus and some of the miracles that he done. And then when I was just looking up, I just had a thought in my head, I wanted to find out about, you know, God, where he had compassion and he had mercy. And this is one of the scriptures I've found. And it says in 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." And I thought, I looked at the word beloved up. And you know what beloved means? It means darling, dearest, precious, adored, loved, cherished, treasured, praised, and valued. And you can, you know what you can do? You can go to that verse and you can say, "Brethren, beloved of the Lord." You know what you can do there? You can put in "darling of the Lord." You can put in "dearest of the Lord." You can put in "precious of the Lord." You can put in "adored of the Lord," "loved of the Lord," "cherished of the Lord,"
"amen,"
"treasured of the Lord,"
"yes,"
"praised of the Lord," and "valued of the Lord."
"Amen."
You know, it's not something when you can say that you, a sinner, that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and you can say, when God says "beloved of the Lord," he can say "treasured of the Lord," "praised of the Lord," "valued of the Lord." And you know, when you think of value, I just put a note down here, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, and it says, when you think of valued, you know what the Word of God says? It says, "For you are bought with a price."
Amen.
You are bought with a price. And you, it says, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Your body and your spirit's God's. And God has paid the price for your body. He's paid the price for your spirit. And you know what that price was? It was over 2,000 years ago, when he sent his only begotten Son to the cross.
Amen.
And he gave his life for you at that cross.
Amen.
That was the price that was paid. You know, it's not something tonight when we can say we have been bought with a price.
Amen.
We are beloved of the Lord.
Amen.
And it says, "chosen you to salvation." Beloved of the, in 13 it says, "beloved of the Lord, Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And you know, when you think about that, chosen you to salvation from the beginning. In John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40, this is what God's word said. It says in 39, "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." God, Jesus, when he said, he's not going to lose one of us. He says, "But should raise it up again at the last day."
Amen.
"And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You could also, Tommy spoke about predestination. And you could think, well, from the chosen you to salvation, God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. So from the beginning, in Ephesians chapter 1 and 5, it says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children,
amen,
by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And again in chapter 1 verse 11 in Ephesians, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the course of his own will." You know, I looked up that word predestinated as well. In my own thinking, when I think of predestinated, in my head it was where God has already made up his mind, where he's going to save you, he's going to be saved. And you know what? When you look up the dictionary, it's the meaning of it was make firm beforehand.
Yes.
You know, it's not something make firm beforehand. Before the foundation of the world,
yes,
God made firm,
yes,
that each and every one of us would be here today.
Amen.
He made firm that he knew who would be saved. He knew that not one of us would be lost. It doesn't matter how you feel tonight. Doesn't matter why you're on the mountaintop or down in the valley, because God, before the foundation of the world, made firm. And you know what firm,
amen,
means? Firm means solid or unyielding.
Amen.
It's not something. So you are bought with a price. You're precious in God's sight. You're worth, you're valued in God's sight. You've been bought by a price. And not only that, God is solid and unyielding in his promise and in his mind toward you. That what we've read there in John chapter 6, that none, he loses none that the Father has given him.
Amen.
You can't be lost tonight. You know, I have no time for saved and lost. Because by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
And not of yourself. By grace. If it was down to works, not one of us would stand. It's by grace. Because you know, it doesn't matter who you were. Look at every prophet in that Bible. There's not one of them that didn't make a mistake. You know, when you read over, one of the disciples, maybe it was our Peter or John, and he asked the Lord, "How many times would I forgive our brother?" 7 times in a day. And Jesus says, 70 times 7. You know, and that's Jesus giving us an example.
Amen.
But it says, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think where he called you to our gospel. Well, what was their gospel? In Acts chapter 3 and verse 20, you know what it says? And this is Peter was speaking after they went up that gate called Beautiful.
Yes.
And there the man was lying there begging, and Peter and John says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as we have give we unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk."
Mm-hmm.
And here's, that's what has happened. And now in verse 20, Peter says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before was preached unto you." So there's the gospel. Our gospel is the same gospel.
Yeah.
And it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, this is Philip the evangelist. And you know, Philip the evangelist was some mighty man of God.
Amen.
He went down, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." And I'm just going to turn over to Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, because there's a bit here I want to read. It says then, I'll just read it again, "Then Peter went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which people Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So here we can see now, what was the gospel? Miracles followed it.
Amen.
His ministry has seen the miracles. So you could expect, if we're going to follow this same gospel, amen, we're going to have to expect the same thing. Amen. And if Philip wrought miracles by the hand of God, we ought all know to see that tonight.
Amen.
And here's what happened in verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city.
Amen.
So what was it? It was a deliverance minister.
Amen.
The unclean spirits were cast out, the lame was healed, the blind seen, the dumb spake. You know what? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't matter what the world around us, what we see, what the circumstances are. Because, you know, it doesn't matter. Was it Job called them lying vanities?
Amen.
Or was it Job, or was it Jonah in the whale's belly? Jonah, I believe. He says they're just lying vanities.
Amen.
You know, a lot of things around the world tonight, they're lying vanities. But this word of God is true.
Amen.
It has a sure foundation.
Yes.
You know, it's a foundation that you can build upon.
Amen.
And we can expect, if it's happened here before, we can expect it to happen again.
Amen.
And and then again in chapter 9, Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. And one of the greatest men in the Bible nearly was Paul the Apostle. You know, maybe people say there's only 12 apostles, and some people believe that the Holy Ghost was only poured out upon them to start and establish the church. But what did it do with Paul the Apostle? On the road to Damascus, where he, you know, Paul the Apostle, Tommy said this morning, would you chose Peter? Well, you imagine back here, would you chose Paul? You know what Paul had done? Paul had went to the hierarchy to get desire of them to give him letters so that he could go and persecute Christians. You know what the persecution was? Many of them lost their lives for their faith. That's what they lost by the hand of Paul. And this is the sort of man here, really vehement for the Jewish religion, for really he stood for what he believed. You know, he was sincere in what he was doing, but you've heard it, people said it before, he was sincerely wrong. But here on the road to Damascus, it says that about midday there shone a bright light. And it was so bright that he fell down from his horse. And it was so bright that it actually blinded him. Where later on he had to go and get prayed for, that the scales would come off his eyes. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And what was the answer? It says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then in chapter 20, after all that, after Paul's conversion, you know what he says? "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God."
Amen.
That's the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the Lord is the Son of God.
Amen.
And not only the Son, he's the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
Born of the Virgin Mary, without sin. You know, each and every one of us is born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But Jesus wasn't. You know, he was created. God spoke him into being in that womb that created that. And you know, that's the difference. Because if something's born in the flesh and come from the flesh, anybody could have it. Anybody could say, "Well, we come from that. You've come from that, we've come from that too." But the difference is, when it's Jesus Christ, he didn't come the same way as other men came. You know, he came, it says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And then what was conceived within her was of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Excuse me. That's the difference. But that's the gospel which we preach is Jesus Christ. And him crucified. And you know, I maybe seem to be going through this very fast, but let me go back here again to Thessalonians. It says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then verse 15, it says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast. You know, there's a few scriptures that talks about steadfast and stand fast. And one of them is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, here's our beloved brethren once again. It says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Be strong, steadfast, unmovable. No matter what the devil puts against us. Because, you know, he's finished. Satan is finished. That's why he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, because he knows that his time is short. And he's going to die the death of a man. That's the thing about him. He was, at one stage he had a position in heaven. He's one of the angels. And he had a form of glory. But you know what he's going to be? He's going to be just maybe a memory in some people. That's all he'll ever be. Because there's going to come to a part in time, somewhere down the road, where it says all that was in hell was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And Satan will be cast in there too. Amen. And that's the second death. And you know, after that, there's no more Satan. So he's going to die the death of a man. But it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So you know, whatever you're doing in the Lord, it's not in vain. Even if it's only praying for somebody, God hears it. You know, it doesn't matter. The Word of God says that he sees the sparrow. He sees a wee sparrow that falls to the ground. You know, it says about Solomon and all his glory was not arrayed like one of the flowers, the lilies of the field. It says, look at the birds. It says they don't sow, they don't reap. But Heavenly Father provides their need. You know, a bird doesn't go out and worry about where it's getting its next meal from. Or it's going to have to make preparation. God undertakes for it. God has a law. You know, God has laws. And there's laws within our world. And some laws made by man are not good laws. But you know, God's laws are good laws. And if we follow them, you know, we'll be blessed. But God has laws. And he, you know, one of his laws is that the little birds, that he'll feed them. He'll take care of them. You know, we don't have to worry about taking care of the birds. You know, every year we have a big holly tree down the garden. And every year there's red berries on it. You know, and the thing is, there's a thrush comes to that tree every year and it sits on the very top of it and it guards it. And they say that's what a thrush will do, a missile thrush or a song thrush. It'll come and it'll sit on the top of the tree where it's eaten to protect and guard it. Excuse me. But you know the thing, that it'll come and it'll eat there, and then when all the berries is off it, and through the summer and all, you know what will happen next year? You might not have seen that thrush for months. You know what will happen next year? That thrush will come back to that bush.
Yes.
Because it knows that the God has appointed seasons.
Yes.
Summer, winter, spring and harvest. You know, God has appointed, that is a rule, that's a law that God has appointed. The seasons. And it says, it'll remain. The season, people talk about nonsense about all the seasons are all changing. No. They will remain until the end.
Because
God's word says so. But Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5, what does it say? It says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Join and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That was Paul writing to the Colossians there. And he says, though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order on the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And that was to the early church. And if we ought to be like the, if we are supposed to be the end time church, we're supposed to be like the early church, we ought also to be steadfast in our faith. You know, you think that maybe think you have persecutions here. Well, has anybody been fed to a lambs? Has anybody been torn asunder in our day? Sawn asunder? Has anybody been burnt at the stake in our day? At the minute, you know, you'll not see them things. There's maybe is countries where if you're a Christian, will be persecuted. I know that and I understand that, but I haven't read lately if anybody been sawn asunder, excuse me, or burnt at the stake. But you know, that's what some of these early Christians went through. The early martyrs. But the thing is that they have received, they're going to receive a robe in glory.
Amen.
So you'll read that in Revelations. It says we ought also to be steadfast in our faith.
Amen.
And if that's only taking a stand for maybe in your workplace where somebody says something and you say, no, I'm a Christian. You know, that's taking a stand. Be steadfast in your faith. And here's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 11. You know what it says? It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's what I've already said. But it says, be sober and be vigilant. You know, you've got to have a bit of sense. You know, the Christian, you need wisdom as a Christian too. You know, there's no point trying to tell somebody what, or trying to preach to somebody, and then your life, if they look at your life and they look at you and they say, but that fella, how can I put it, and maybe in terms of this day and age, where they would say, that boy's not wise, or he's not right in the head. Because maybe something that you've done, or maybe the way you act or you get on. But you know, you ought to have a bit of wisdom and a bit of sense.
Yes,
and conduct yourself the way a Christian ought to conduct himself. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a bit of fun and a bit of sport. But you, in the eyes of others, you're a written epistle seen and read of all men.
Okay.
And you know, I know once, and they think it's all right, and maybe they say it, or you know, could have a wee glass of wine and all that. But you know what happens? The next thing they're on the internet, they're on Facebook, and they're pictured somewhere with a big bottle of wine and a few glasses. And you know, what does that look like to the world? When they see that, they think there's no difference in them and you. And they see that and they say, oh, look at them as out drinking and they're Christians. Now, that's not being vigilant. You know, that's kidding yourself. That's really what that is. You know, there's no other way to say it. It's just kidding themselves. Because when it comes to it, people won't take them serious. But I don't want to linger on that. But it says, but your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In verse 9 it says, whom resists steadfast in the faith.
Amen.
So it's not of yourself where you're going to resist him, but it's in the faith. And you know, was it Tommy preached the other day and mentioned Jesus in the wilderness? And what did he use against the Satan when the devil come down to tempt him?
Amen.
He used the word of God.
Amen.
The exact same word of God that we have.
That's right,
you know, he could have bound Satan right there and then. He could have bound him the way he bound them swine or them devils as was in them madmen and cast them into the flock of swine.
Amen.
And told them, you know, they begged the Lord that he would send them into the swine, that they wouldn't go back to where they come from, the pit of hell. But you know, I believe Jesus could have bound the devil there and then in the desert, in the wilderness. But I believe it's for an example for us. He used the word of God.
Amen.
And you know, it's simple words. It says, thou shalt not live by bread alone.
Yes.
And what was it? Worship no, thou shalt have no other God before thee. Worship God and him alone. You know, and that's the simplicity of the word, but it was enough to send the devil fleeing, as the wee song says.
Amen.
It says the devil lost the first round. That was that wee song, them Stotler Brothers sang. Excuse me. It says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So that's the key. In the faith. In the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of yourself, it's in the faith.
Yes.
Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it's not, maybe you're going through a hard time, but you know what? Other people went through hard times too. That's what that's saying there. And it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's the verse there that says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. You know, many people at the minute could say that. Maybe you've went through something. Maybe you've suffered. Maybe there's people at the minute suffer. And maybe they're going through a challenging time and people's praying for them. But you know, it says, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect.
Yes.
That's God's promise. it says, establish, God's going to establish you. And then not only that, he's strengthening you and he's settling you. You know, things in the world sometimes can look like it's overcoming, or how are you ever going to get past it, or what am I going to do, or I have a great big problem and what am I going to do. But you know, there's a lot of things God's fixed you in different ways. And you know, forgive me if I get emotional, but you know, I've been praying for my dad, and I'm taking that verse, God's going to heal him.
Amen.
God's going to answer prayer.
Amen.
And this one day, I was out, and the time I was, where I was moving pipes across the yard into the garage. So at some stage you can put an oil burner in. And the yard is just filled with big stones, wee stones, and then there's fine stone, like rough lighting over the top. And I was thinking that you couldn't dig it with a digger really, because there's too many sewer pipes, and you could wreck the place. And I started by picking the shovel. And you know, when you start and you're in the fine stuff, it's real easy to move the fine stuff. It doesn't take much effort to move the fine stuff with a shovel. You know, maybe that's like the Christian life, when it's, you're maybe getting it easier handy of that fine stuff. But then every now and then you hit the bigger stone, or maybe a rougher place. And then maybe it's too big for the shovel to lift it, but you know what? If you get the pick in around it and you give it a bit of a go, you can dig around it and you can get it shifted. And then you can say, well, what are you saying that for, Mark? Well, maybe you maybe get the odd problem. You might think it's a big problem, but it's not really that big a problem at all. And a bit of, you can get around them problems. But then maybe as you dig deeper, you get more and more of them stones. It's not just the odd one, it's the big stone. But you know what I found? When you start to recognize the stones, and you know, if it's a granite stone, the only way to get that out is to dig around it and get it lifted out. But you see, if it's that bluey, slaty style stone, you know what you can do? You just hit it a big chop with the pick, and maybe two or three big chops with it, and you split it, and you can get it out. And now that big problem's not so big anymore. And but you know the thing about it, you have to be steady. If you just go flat out of it, you just go mad at it. You know what you do? You burn yourself out. But you need to be steady, steadfast.
Amen.
Take your time. And if you need to stop, stop and renew your strength.
Yeah.
And then you know what? Maybe you get then, as you get deeper, maybe you'll get a real big stone. But you know what I find the best way for the real big stones? Is to ask for help. Don't, it says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Don't try to go through it by yourself. You know, you might try to hit it with a big pick or sledge. It mightn't seem like you're hearing anything, but you know what? See if you only just take your time and you go real slow and you just stick around it. And take your time, and you know what? The next thing you've cleared around it and you've the stone sitting there. And it might be too much for you to lift. But if you say to somebody, give me a lift with this, or you, by its mouth of two or three witnesses.
Yes.
If one would set 10,000 to flight, two would set the tens of thousands to flight. But what if you get maybe three people on board or four people on board? It's not a big lift.
Amen.
You know, it's like the Christian life. When you're going through trouble, you know what?
Yes.
Come, take it to the Lord in prayer. But the thing is, what does the Word of God say? And is it in Matthew? Hold on, I look it up here. Matthew, I think it's 18 or 19. There, it's in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. It says, again I say unto you, that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's the Word of God. You know, if you can get two or three people praying, a big problem, I believe, will soon be a small one. And you know what? Soon God will have answered the prayer. And you'll think, maybe you'll get to a point where you'll say, you know, that wasn't really a problem at all. Because, you know, sometimes don't go alone. Don't be trying to go alone through things. Maybe if you try to get yourself worked up, you don't have to go alone through things and through situations. You can take it to the Lord in prayer. And not only that, You can take it to the church. Maybe ask somebody to pray with you. You know, that's what the pastor here, that's what the deacons and elders are for. If you need prayer, come. You know, that's what God has ordained in His Word.
Amen.
It says, those are sick, call the elders, the anoint you with oil, and the prayer of sick will save the prayer of faith will save the sick. You know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the Word of God. But you know, that's just a lesson that I got myself just when I was doing that. And I was thinking, you know, it really is, if we can get that part where we just put our faith, our trust and our faith in the Lord, you know, then big problems are no longer big.
Yeah.
And what else are we going to say is, stand fast. And it says in verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work. Now it says, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. And I've wrote down a few verses here by God's love. John chapter 15 verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love.
Amen.
And then 15 verse 12 it says, this is my commandment, that ye love me, that ye love one another, and as I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
It's not some verse. And somebody did lay down their life for us and for you, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, greater love of no man than this. But the Lord Jesus Christ done it. He laid down His life for each and every one of us. You know, also in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16 it says, for we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there you go, you have a high priest. It says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So in other words, He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Amen.
You know, He's touched. What is it to be touched? It's where something within you, where you're touched, where it creates something in you where you're going to have to do something about it, where maybe it has touched you, where it maybe put something in you where you feel within yourself that, well, that there are situations wrong and there's going to have to be something done about it, and it moves you. That's what touching does, it moves you to do something. And here we're talking about Jesus Christ. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And then it says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, like I've already said about the wilderness. But I was just thinking, that's really what I was thinking about before all this. It was Matthew, I was reading in Matthew chapter, I think it's 14. It's chapter 14 of Matthew. And I was just thinking about the compassion of the Lord. And here's in the chapter 14, you read at the start of it about Herod, and where Herodias, he took Herodias to be wife, his brother Philip's wife, and then her daughter danced before him, and he promised her anything up to in the kingdom, and she asked for John the Baptist's head and a charger, because her mother had inspired her to do that. But in verse 10 it says, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. His head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. In verse 12, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Now, in the natural, when people just looked at Jesus and looked at John, they would have thought them two men were cousins because of Elizabeth and Mary. But Jesus, I believe, had a real love for John. Because not only in that, but in the spiritual, you know, he said, this is John. about Elijah forerunning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if you can receive it, this is John.
Amen.
You know, John the Baptist, he baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. And here he has been, he's been beheaded. And his disciples, where they came to Jesus and they told Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He went out to a desert place apart. I believe Jesus went out and he maybe prayed. Maybe he was, you know, there's a verse in the Bible where it says Jesus wept when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus. So there again, he was touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He felt everything that we felt. He felt compassion. He maybe felt loss. But you know, he knew, I believe that he knew that he'd see John shortly in the, on the other side in heaven. But here he wanted to get out, and he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Maybe he wanted some time apart. But then the people heard of it, and what did they do? They followed him out of the cities. And verse 14, and Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed her sick. So even after John has been beheaded, and right after that, just after the disciples have come and told him that and given him that bad news, and here he's out in the desert, he's moved with compassion when he sees all those people has come out. And he prays for them and he heals their sick. And then you can read on about then when they've been there that long, and he said to the disciples to feed them. And that's where you get, you know, you imagine one of the, after the, such a sad event, there's one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, the feeding of the 5,000.
Amen.
You know, where God done that miracle. And then after that, they went into, you can read on down that, they took up the extra, all those baskets that remained over. And they went, what happened next time he mentioned this morning, Jesus then went again into them to be apart to pray. And the disciples went on before him across that Sea of Galilee. And I believe, you can research it maybe, in a study Bible could tell you. I believe I read one time that they probably were about 3 miles from Jesus there at that point. I'm not sure how far across the Sea of Galilee is, but it's maybe 3 miles across it. That might be it. But they were in the midst of that sea. And you know, the next thing the storms rose, and they were in trouble, and they said they toiled all night, they'd rowed. And then Jesus come walking on the water. Not some miracle.
Amen.
Jesus come, he knew them men were there, and he come in the midst of that. And you maybe would have thought, you know, maybe them men were praying if only Jesus was here. And maybe they thought they would never get here. Maybe Jesus would never be able to get here in a boat because we were toiling all night. It wouldn't matter if he had a boat, he couldn't row it. But you know, Jesus made a way to them men. Not a way that you could think of your own natural understanding. Maybe they were trying to work out how that Jesus could get to them. And what did he do? He come walking on the water. And as Tommy said this morning then, Peter, he said, Lord, if I see, bid me come to thee. And he did. He said, come on ahead. And he got out. And then, you know, when his faith dropped, he began to sink. But then what happened? Jesus took a hold of him. It's not something that even when, maybe if your faith takes a drop, that if you look on Jesus and call upon him,
amen,
what will he do? He'll raise you up.
Amen.
And then they'll walk together into the boat. Now, there are two great miracles already after that. He's got this bad news. He's had compassion on them. But then when you read the very end of that chapter, and they went over the other side of Galilee now, the Sea of Galilee. You know where they went? They went into that area of Capernaum. And why that's important, and then around Gadara and all. It says, went over to that side, and that's in around that area, Capernaum and all, where Jesus lived and grew up. And it says in verse 35, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. So when they knew that he was there, they sent out for all that was diseased. You know why? Because they'd seen what he was capable of. And you know why? I believe in chapter 30, or verse 36 will give you an understanding why. Because you know, in verse 36 it says, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Well, where have you heard that before, touch the hem of his garment? There was a little woman with a blood issue.
Amen.
And what did she do? She touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole.
Amen.
And where was she from? She was from this area in around this coast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the exact same area where that woman was touched with a healing. She touched the hem of his garment and she was healed.
Oh,
You know what that woman done, do you think? When that woman was healed, you know what she done? She didn't tell anybody. No. Obviously, from what I read in verse 36, she must have testified and told of what God was doing.
Yes,
I believe that, because you know what they said? They didn't come to Jesus and say, pray for our sick, lay hands on them. They just said what that woman had done. They said that we might only touch the hem of your garment. Because they knew that that woman, that she had been with that issue for years. And that she touched the hem of his garment. And if it was good enough for her, it was good enough for them. Because they, you know what they've done? They saw the evidence of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ, where she had been healed. And, you know, that's me finished, but just one more scripture. And it says, it's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. You know what it says? It says, Jesus careth for you. And it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Just look that up to make sure I'm getting it right. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So in verse 17 of Thessalonians chapter 2 2 Thessalonians 2:2, it says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And then I wrote here 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And you know, that's all I want to share with you tonight. You know, it's been a short word, maybe. But if there's something I can leave it with you, is if you need prayer, and you need to lay on the hands or anything like that, God has made a way. He's made a provision. And he's established it in the church. He says, call the sick, or the sick to come, and anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And not only that, he's made a way where, as we sang that week song this morning, Draw Me Near, it says, I commune friend with friend. You know, it's not something where we can pray and we can speak to Jesus as friend to friend. You hear people talking about an audience with the Pope. Not anybody will just get an audience with the Pope. And maybe you might have to wait a long, long time, I'm not sure, just to get an audience with the Pope. And what is he? He's just a man. That's all he is. And he can't do one thing for you. He can't, you know, in the spiritual, he can do absolutely nothing for you. In the spiritual, in my eyes, he just put you into more and more darkness and death.
Amen.
That's what follows him. Death follows him.
Amen.
But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what?
Amen.
You know what? You have communion with him.
Amen.
You have fellowship with him.
Right.
He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
You know, it's free unto all. That's the thing. The gospel's free. It's the free gift of salvation.
Amen.
And just leave that with you this evening. Amen. Let's pray again. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord, just in our service that you would, Lord, just come, Lord, into our midst and bless us, Lord Jesus Christ, and help us, Lord, and answer every prayer and every need. You know our needs, Lord Jesus Christ, before we pray. And Lord, we have confidence, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're more than able.
Yes.
And Lord, we take our example from you and from the Bible.
Yes.
And Lord, Elijah said, where be the Lord God of Elijah? And you answered it right there and then. And Lord, we saying right now, where be the Lord God of Elijah once more? And Lord, not like them prophets of Baal that cried and cut themselves with stone. And Elijah mocked them and said, maybe your God's away. Maybe he's away for a walk or on an errand, or maybe he's sleeping. But Lord, you're not asleep. You never slumber and you never sleep. But Lord, you're here to deliver. And you're in our midst, for your word says that where two or three are gathered, you're in our midst. And we know that when you're in our midst, you bless us, Lord. Lord, help us to worship you tonight. Help us to praise your mighty name. Help us to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For you alone are worthy of it, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for me in my life. I thank you for answering prayers. I believe that you've answered prayers, that you've heard and you've answered them already. And I believe and I testify that all is well, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for the remainder of this service. that you just have your way, I pray. In and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to sing 452, Where He May Lead Me, from the redemption of our standard faith. While we're singing this, if anyone wants prayer for, and I'm sure Brother Mark will win the prayer, Brother John, and this new oil, I sent to Jerusalem to get this new olive oil, anointing oil, for a few weeks to come. I don't know how long that olive oil was there for. But we've got new oil. It gives you a fresh oil. Praise God. If you want prayer, why we sing this, you come, my brother John and my brother Mark will certainly pray for you. And I've enjoyed the word tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. And I really believe the Lord's hand on our brother Mark. And I want to encourage him. Praise God. The Lord has a word for him. Praise God. Let's sing this. Where He may lead me, I will go.
Where He may lead me, I will go.
Jesus, my friend of Calvary, Jesus shall.